Coach Josh Anderson to the Coach's Corner Show. And, Coach, good evening. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, always fun. Thanks again for having me.
Well, before we talk about last Saturday's game, the one thing I was thinking about here this evening on my drive in is something we've lightly touched on, whether in the pregame or perhaps even the last time that you and I chatted here, was the schedule to begin the season. You started out usual two-a-days, early August, had a Thursday night game to open up, and then went a Thursday game, Saturday game, the bye week, Saturday, now here we are. So kind of an interesting schedule, the first time that you've dealt with that, and I mean that in a good way, but it seems like that schedule really benefited this team. You go from a high to a low to then a bye week to another high, and again, that bye really ended up, looking back, working out pretty well.
I really like it. I'm always nervous about a bye week just because if you kind of let off the gas a little bit, you worry about how the athletes will react and all that good stuff. And so you just wonder, you know, what's the best way to approach a bye week, you know, when you have the extra week? Do you make it 2 weeks of practicing for the next opponent? Do you kind of let off a little bit? But it is nice in the fact that that first game on a Thursday gives us the extra days before the weekend to get ready for your second game, which is much needed because from game one to game two, even if you win, there's a lot of corrections that need to be made.
Yep.
So having the extra time was really nice. And then going off and after that, having the bye week, which is even better because from obviously your second game to your third game, there's still some corrections that need to be made. Having a week off after two games, letting your body heal up, certainly did help. And then all we did, we planned to practice basically Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during our bye week. That was it. And we went good on good, just meeting our number one offense, went against our number one defense, and just made sure we sharpened up some things and didn't really focus on Stevens Point at that time. But then we used the extra Monday, which usually Monday is kind of a walkthrough, talk-through day.
Yep.
We had the extra practice on the Monday for the Stevens Point game, which did give us extra time. Obviously helped us out big time. Our third game, we had some things sharpened up. We were a little bit more focused, well rested. And so I kind of like that bye week after the second game. I'm not going to lie. I think I want to do everything I can to try and keep it that way. This is actually our first regular week going into our fourth game. Kind of what you alluded to, you know, like we actually had to, we don't have that extra practice. We don't have that extra recovery time. So Into the practice today, Wednesday's practice, we still have some guys that weren't fully ready to go who will play. They'll be fine. But they just, you know, weren't ready to practice yet, weren't ready to run around or get banged up anymore. So, and that's pretty typical then in a regular week during the season. So
back to normality, but nothing normal about this last Saturday. We had homecoming, and of course the parade was canceled, which was the chagrin of many. But ended up having a community tailgate going on up at the tailgate area. A lot of pork loin so far this fall, I'm going to say. But it was cool. There were a lot of people there eating, free admittance to the game. And that bye week, it just seemed like something clicked on a lot of guys' minds, whether it was in practice, whether it was film. But from the team that we saw or I saw down at Briarcliff to where you guys were at Saturday before we get the details, it was, I wouldn't say it was like a 180. It was rather just, it seemed like a lot of guys, the light went on in their head in that bye week at some point because it seemed like guys were a little more locked in than usual. Guys were ready to go. Now, credit the coaching and putting players into position to succeed, but it just seemed like it was a different team than the prior game.
It was, and I will say the biggest thing was our focus. After the Briarcliff game, being in that game, our defense played so well, our special teams played so well, set us up for a victory, quite honestly, and our offense just didn't get the job done. And pointing those things out to the offense, as well as the defense and special teams on just little things that always just need tending to and work.
Yep.
But our offensive guys were trying to do too much. They were trying to do more than they were supposed to do, and it ended up hurting us, and that's the case in all sports levels. And so we just had to get them back to reality of, like, just trust your reads, trust your technique. If you do what you're coached to do, you'll be just fine. And they really bought in. We simplified the package on our next game for Stevens Point just so that we could refocus on the fundamentals offensively and move the ball at a more consistent pace. whether we scored or whether we didn't. And we were able to do that. Obviously made a big difference keeping our defense off the field. And, of course, when the defense got on the field, they got themselves off the field with the turnovers and the tremendous play that they were doing as well. And our special teams, again, had another big day. So it was good to have the offense finally get caught up with how well we're doing defensively and special teams-wise. So credit our athletes to get their heads on right and the coaches to continue to just plug away and find ways to help our guys get back on track or stay on track, depending on what side of the ball we're talking about. So it was a bit of a different team, you know. I mean, we had a little bit more confidence, a little bit more swagger, and having that bye week really helped, because then that two-week period really felt like it was almost a month before we played the next game.
Right.
And I think they were missing it again.
We're chatting DSU football here this Wednesday evening on the Coach's Corner Show on Dakota's Best AM 1390. AmazingMadison.com. You can also check out the iHeart app, which is free. We are on there, and also add us to your Alexa with our skill as well. Coach Josh Anderson is with us, and one thing I also noticed, too, was it seemed like the play calling was a lot crisper Saturday. There weren't a whole lot of times that you guys were breaking the huddle inside the 10 seconds. And I think a couple of things. I thought at Briarcliff, a couple times the offense got caught getting a first down. It only reset to 25. That happened once or twice. But I thought Saturday, and both sides really, offense and defense, the play calling, it seemed like everyone was locked in, both upstairs and downstairs. The play calling was there. And many times you had 15 seconds before, or you were already at the line at 15 seconds, were able to change the play if you wanted to. It just seemed like there was a lot more continuity there on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't just players that had things to be fixing after game one and game two. Us coaches, we had our own issues that we had to get fixed. And we obviously stressed that during the week and made sure that those weren't going to be issues again, because it played a big factor in our loss, I think, against Briarcliff. And that's the frustrating part when you're playing against a good team like that. You have every opportunity to win against a very good Briarcliff team, and you don't, and it's because of just those little things. The play calling, for example, get it in, you know, make a decision, get it in. We were having so many problems with drops in that game that we were getting upset with our athletes, that we were concentrating too much on, okay, who should we put in? Who can catch the ball? Yep. What should we do? And then we're not getting the play in on time. So it all kind of accumulated with this, that led into that, that ended up being this. And we got to be more mature as coaches, and that's what we talked about on the offensive side. We got to be more mature to be able to handle those things and move on quickly, whether we make a move or not. Instead of going off rotation, just let the rotation continue.
Mm-hmm.
Trust the athletes. If they're screwing up, then the next rotation, like, then we can make arrangements when we're not on the field, not while we're on the field. And that was huge for us, because we just didn't have time to, like I said, basically, oh, let's get him off, let's put him on. Well, what are we good at? What do we want to run? What can we do, you know, to make sure we catch the ball or this or that, or, or block it correctly? And then it was too late to make a stinking call, and we just got in our own way.
Well, one thing I think that benefited not only the play calling this past Saturday, the final 38-21 over Stevens Point, was when there was a turnover, and I think three or four of the six scoring drives, five touchdowns and a field goal, I believe four of the six were set up by one of the record six interceptions. So not only were you guys capitalizing defensively, but, you know, it's a tale as old as time. There are a lot of them in football, but creating turnovers and creating or getting those turnovers created into points is so huge. That's exactly what you guys did on Saturday.
Absolutely. When our defense grabs the momentum and then the offense capitalizes on it, you just keep stacking the momentum up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to feel that on the opposing side, and you know, and then you start to do things that you're not characteristically good at, or you're trying to force things, and then it caused more turnovers. And so then the momentum led to more momentum and things like that. So with how well our defense did, and then our special teams as well, and then offensively being able to capitalize on those things, made a big difference. And really ended up forcing the extra turnovers, again, just because they were forced to throw the ball more than they wanted to, and they're not the best at it. And our guys took advantage of it and were in the right spots because they were coached well. They're bought into the coaching. They read things well, so they know where they're supposed to be, and they know what they're supposed to do. And obviously that's what leads to those turnovers and made a huge impact in the game, especially right away. You know, I think it was their first drive.
Yep.
You know, we picked it off, and they had one drive where we picked it off twice because Noah Guzzi picked it off, had a really good return, fumbled it. They got it back, and then two plays later we picked it off again. So that, to me, is a huge testament to our character and our work ethic, where when you pick it off and you fumble it and then you block somebody in the back, and they get an extra 25 yards on a bad play, but you don't hang your head, and right. you don't whine about it. You just pick up your lunch pail and get back to work. It was awesome because then, like I said, two plays later, we picked it off again and just kept plugging away.
That was a pretty wild series. Coach, before we turn our attention to Valley City, the other thing that I thought as well was the offensive balance on Saturday when you guys needed to get some plays downfield, made some nice vertical plays. I thought there were a few plays that were just out of the reach of receivers, but the right decision on that play. But the workload from running back, you were able guys to rotate in a few more guys, and really because of some short fields, the offense wasn't really on the – it felt like there was an even balance in that game where the defense was on the field just enough, and then the offense was on the field just enough. Even if you didn't score, it seemed like there was a nice balance and rhythm there on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, and you never want to turn the ball over offensively.
Right.
So our whole thought is, hey, let's get some first downs. Obviously, first downs lead to scores,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's a field goal or a touchdown. But it's important to just not turn the ball over. We've got a really good special teams unit in our punt team. We've got a really good punter. And so it's like, hey, you know, if we can't create our own first downs, if something happens, we don't get a first down, let's rely on our special teams. Let's rely on our defense. And that was able to be one of those things that just ended up benefiting us because when we needed to punt, we were able to get some really good kicks from Caleb Nielsen. And so he flipped the field for us. And then obviously our defense did what they did, and it was just really a good solid game plan of not making mistakes. And had Noah not fumbled the ball after he created a turnover, we would have had no turnovers whatsoever on that game, which is awesome because last year our first three games we had a minimum of three turnovers every game, and every game we had a pick six against us, and so it was not good, and we haven't had those issues, and it just shows our maturity, our decision-making on offense to not force anything or try and do something we're not good at, and then creating turnovers for defenses. We just don't need to do that against good teams. Our first three teams were awesome. They're really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Valley City, I know we're transitioning to them soon. They're a solid team. They're number 14 in the nation on defense. They're number 24 on offense, and they're doing very well.
Valley City State, a very formidable opponent. They sit at 2-1 and very talented offense, defensive side. And was looking at their numbers here today and got kind of a similar vibe here to DSU. This year they've ran the ball probably about 66 to 70% of the time and passed the ball the other 30. So it'll be interesting to see the matchup come Saturday between the two defenses and the two offense or offense, defense, because I see two teams with kind of similar numbers across the board.
Yeah, the best part about Valley City that they got going for them is their running game.
Mm-hmm.
They got the leading rusher in the nation right now. He's not only the leading rusher, but all-purpose yards as well. He's a punt returner, a kick returner, and they're running back, and he's really good at catching the ball, so running routes. So somebody you got to always be accountable for and know when he's in the game and where he's at and what he's doing. And then they got a three-year starting quarterback who's just really savvy, just super, super good with his decision-making, his accuracy. They don't need to throw the ball a lot, but when they do, he's solid. He's really good at running, too. So, I mean, if it's not there, one of his reads is to run, and he can hurt you with his legs, too. So just not an easy situation. And then on top of that, they have arguably one of the best wide receivers, not just in the conference, but in the nation. And so they've got some serious weapons offensively. And so it's going to be a very big challenge again for our defense. Another week where it's a really solid disciplined team that we're facing that's had a lot of success not only this year already, but in the past. And so no easy task. And then defensively, they're relentless.
Yeah.
You know, they do not give up on plays. They'll hit you hard and often, and it's just really solid, good football is what it is. And so tough opponent, especially tough to be playing them on the road at their place. And it's going to be their homecoming, so obviously there'll be some more hype and excitement for them too. So just a well-coached ball club and really solid in recruiting because their athletes are fantastic.
Yeah, Coach McCullough's been there now for, I believe, as a head coach 23 years and then with the program for 26. They have a couple of other assistant coaches, long tenured as well, but a couple on the defensive side. So you see continuity with a program like that, and they've had a lot of more ups than downs in their tenure of their program. So anytime you go a matchup against a team like this, I think it'll be interesting to see because you'll also see them here at home in the latter stages of the schedule this year. So I think come Saturday, it'll be interesting to see the first two, three possessions offensively for both teams. Because I think, and we're looking back the first three games, first two games wasn't really a quick start at all offensively. Saturday was, so I'm curious to see if we'll see that quick start, whether it's off a turnover or not, but see if that quick start for DSU can get going. And then, versely, see how Valley City comes out as well.
Yeah, you know what? Valley City is sound, like you said. They've got a few coaches, including their head coaches, who have been there a long time, and that's a really good asset to have for a head coach, to have coaches that have been there a long time and want to be there, and they've seen a lot of things. They know how to respond to a lot of things. They know the kind of changes they need to make in a game that fits their defense, their offense, their special teams, basically their scheme. They know what to do. They know what they're looking for. They've already coached it up. They can make really quick adjustments. That's the best part about having an experienced staff in a program like that, where they've had a lot of highs, far more than they've had lows. And so, they're not easy to beat on the field, and a lot of that's because they're not easy to beat in the coaching staff too. That you got to out-coach them, and that is very, very, very difficult. So, coming out with these first few possessions, like you're saying, no doubt about it. Now, they like to jump into a lot of blitz packages and a lot of different blitz looks.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it in the past to us. We fully expect it again. But you know what? We've always expected it, and they've had success with us regardless. So it's just something that we've got to be able to stay under control, not get all caught up or our eyes out of position and things like that. And that's the whole point of blitzing and what they do, and then they do it well.
Before we touch a little bit on the conference itself and where people are at, getting Justin Thomas finally in the starting lineup this past Saturday, had moved a few defensive players around, now back to the alignment that was originally planned going into game one. And yes, he came with six interceptions, credit to where people were at, sure, possibly, but it just seemed like the secondary was definitely confident and ready to go. And with Justin, it just seemed like everyone back to their natural fit. And, more often than not, it was the D-back that had the route or the inner route on the wide receiver. So it seemed like it was just a nice natural fit. He was able to also return some punts as well in the contest too. So,
yep, getting him back, he had a situation where he just needed to pay a college bill from a different school. So that was the only thing holding him back from his NAIA clearance. And so once he got that done and once he got his federal financial aid check, he was able to take care of that. And so obviously we would have loved to have had him for the first two games. Defensively, we did outstanding with Briar Cliff, so I don't know that it would have made a huge difference. We had to get things done offensively that we didn't do, coaching-wise and player-wise, which we talked about earlier. But still, would have loved to have had him, but super happy he's back now. Their wide receiver at Valley City, Jake Peterson, I think he was a little dinged up, but he'll be playing, and he'll be ready to go. They just come off a bye week, so having that extra rest and all that good stuff is going to be good for their bodies, their souls. And like I said, it feels like one bye week feels like it's been a month, and you start to miss the game and you start to miss the action. So they'll be re-energized, and there's going to be just a lot of different factors in the game that we've got to be ready for and be able to handle and get through that first wave, that first quarter, without letting the hype get us all razzled.
Just taking a quick look at the conference, obviously it is early on. I believe everyone's gotten in at least three games on the season so far. There have been a few bye weeks intertwined as well. Got four teams at 2-1, two that we've talked about in Dakota State as well as Valley City. Dickinson State at 2-1, and then Waldorf at 2-1. Interestingly enough, this past weekend, Dakota State, Dickinson State, and Waldorf all played Wisconsin, or WIAC, as I call it, WIAC. I've always called it the WIAC, but teams from the WIAC, and all three games, the two other games were nail-biters. A game-winning field goal for Waldorf with like 3 seconds left, and then Dickinson State, I think, scored the last 10 points of the game. But taking a look, I'm not surprised where the standings are at for all the non-conference games so far.
Well, I will tell you, those WIAC schools are very good, and they're very comparable. The two schools that Dickinson played in Waldorf, as well as Wisconsin Stevens Points, they're all very, very comparable in that conference. Same kind of caliber. We just ended up playing a really good, solid game with all three phases.
Yep.
I haven't seen the game from Waldorf or Dickinson, so I can't say one way or the other for them. But, they found a way to win, which is exciting for them, and something we're already aware of. We already know that Waldorf's really good. Dickinson's won the conference the last 4 years. We already know they're really good. Valley City's always in the mix. Of course, they're 2-1. Their only loss is to a playoff team in Northwestern.
Yep.
And so, you know, Northwestern, barring any injuries, they're going to be going back to the playoffs this year. So they didn't lose to some mediocre team. It was a stellar GPAC conference there, so conference opponent. And the ironic thing, and I'm not ironic, but coincidental thing is those all four teams that you mentioned all play each other. The 2-1 teams, Valley City and us, play against each other, and then Waldorf and Dickinson play against each other. So we're going to have some separation after this Saturday, one way or the other, and no matter what. You know, two teams are going to be 2-2, and two of them will be 3-1, and feeling pretty good after this week. So obviously, you know, we know our goals, we know what we want to do, and we'll be ready. We'll be ready to go. And of course, if we get things done, it'll be because we play solid, and if we don't, it's because, you know, they beat us at our best. That's where we want to be.
Traveling up to Valley City here this weekend and then back home on the first Saturday of October. I believe it's presentation that does come to town. Always want to start off the conference play on the right foot. This year it'll be on the road, but then you'll also see both Valley City and presentation then at the end of the season. So, and it's interesting in a conference like this where you do see a similar opponents twice throughout the year. You don't want to get overly confident if you get by them the first time because you know, well, they played us as well, so they know what they needed to work on. We know what we needed to work on. So it's kind of, it adds an interesting dynamic, especially in the world of college football where a lot of times you only see conference opponents twice in a season, maybe in the playoffs or a conference championship. So it's an interesting dynamic here with the North Star League.
It really is. Having to beat anybody once is difficult enough.
Right.
Having to play them twice is tough. Having to try and even beat them twice is even tougher. So, but you know, it is what it is. It's something that our conference has to do just because of lack of football teams in our conference. And then it's very difficult to pick up non-conference games because a lot of the conferences, like regionally, they only have one bye week or maybe even two. And then, of course, not only do you have to match up with them, it has to match up your date and their date when they have open weeks. And so it's not easy. Obviously, the WIAC had an open week this last week. That's why Waldorf, Dickinson, and us were able to pick up a game against those guys. The GPAC, I think they've only got one or two open dates at the beginning of the season, which is going to change now that Mount Marty's coming in. So it's going to get tougher and tougher to try and get opponents. We're probably going to have to play more than two teams twice. We may have to play three or four teams twice, which would, in my opinion, be awful. But it's just what we're looking at this point unless things change.
And that's an interesting scenario as well. And it you start looking at the regional teams or whatnot. And Mayville had a strange schedule this year. They had a team that came in from Idaho to play them. And this last weekend, they were actually out in Massachusetts playing Merrimack University, which made the move to the FCS this year. So, you know, I'm still... Props to Mayville State for getting that game scheduled. You know, would be interested to find or hear about the backstory behind that because I don't know if they play next year and they didn't play last year. So, but yeah, I mean, it becomes an interesting scenario, and not only for Dakota State, for teams in the conference as well, as you see other conferences kind of tighten up and going to more of a league-wide schedule if they have more than 10 teams. So it'd be an interesting scenario going forward, hoping obviously for the best and that things do work out, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm hoping for the best as well. Like I said, just even playing one team twice, I don't like it, having to play two this year. Last year we played Dickinson and Waldorf twice, the top two teams in the conference. That was not fun at all.
So the schedule rotates, but the teams certainly do remain the same. It'll be interesting here this weekend coming up with the matchups that we presented. Now getting into the conference schedules, we'll only have three conference games a week, so kind of be able to narrow things down. But a good start, 2-1 on the season for Dakota State, picking up a victory here this past weekend. Homecoming as well, which is always fun for the fans. 38-21 was the final. 2-1 in the non-conference games, and now the meat of the schedule. Cooler nights. Temperatures are still a little warm, but it definitely has the football feel. And Monday being the first day of fall, you know, as I was saying earlier today on the air, kind of this last 2 week stretch of September to like the first 2 weeks of November, that's kind of my favorite time of the year.
Yep, the nice, crisp, clean fall air. I love it. My favorite time is actually in the spring before the bugs come alive yet.
Oh, yeah,
and it's, you know, the weather's starting to change then too, and you get your plenty full of winter and they start to turn green. That's my favorite time. But I got to tell you, it's almost a tied for first, because any time in the fall when the weather changes, it's awesome.
Yeah, especially I think the first Friday night light game that you're at, where all of a sudden you're like, ooh, I need a jacket.
Yeah.
That's just an old feeling. Coach Josh Anderson joining us here this evening on the Coach's Corner Show. Dakota State 2-1 on the season will be at Valley City State this Saturday, 2 o'clock kickoff. You can catch the game on our sister station, Jammin' Country 103. Pre-game about 40 minutes beforehand. I haven't been going 30 minutes, but I've had more to say and haven't been able to say it. So it'll be about a 40-minute pregame we're planning on, so about 1:20 Saturday afternoon. Up in Valley City, should be good weather, going to be a little cooler as well on Saturday. So hopefully keep kids healthy, keep the cramps away, and Coach, good luck Saturday.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. I look forward to it, and good luck on Saturday as well as your pregame. Hopefully things work out for both of us.
Absolutely. Head Coach Josh Anderson of the Dakota State Trojan football team as he joins us here on the Coach's Corner Show. We'll step aside for a break. When we come back, we'll stay in DSU athletics as we'll chat with cross-country head coach Anthony Drelin. They had a great Herb Blakely meet, and looking forward to the big Griac meet coming up this Saturday. So the Coach's Corner Show continues after these from our sponsors.
Stadium Sports Grill in downtown Madison wishes the Dakota State University Trojans good luck in their game. Enjoy 50-cent win Wednesdays in both traditional and boneless, with several flavors to choose from 5 to 10, plus 18 flat-screen TVs, pool tables, and a full menu of great food and your favorite cold beverage on tap. Stadium Sports Grill in downtown Madison also has a breakfast menu on Saturdays and Sundays only from 11 to 2. Stadium Sports Grill in downtown